Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court decides to take a school choice case. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. This is a major decision because the Supreme Court decided to take a case involving a Maine law that discriminates against parents based upon religion by providing some families with tuition support for the school of their choice, but denying that same support to other families. The case is Carson v. Mackin. Three families from three different small towns in Maine ultimately filed suit. The local school districts in those places offer high school tuition payments for students to attend the public or private secondary schools of their choice in lieu of maintaining public schools of their own. And yet the state law says, no, you can't allow parents that choice to take the tuition dollars and support and choose to have their kids educated in a religious or faith-based school.
Yeah, Matt, this is clear discrimination. I mean, this state law in Maine prohibits these towns, there's three different towns, as you mentioned, from paying tuition on behalf of families who choose otherwise qualified religious schools. Listen to that. The families who filed the lawsuit qualified, they call it Maine's town tuitioning program, in all other respects, but they're excluded from participating only because they choose religious schools for their children.
Yeah. So the case is going to consider whether the state has violated the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause or the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution.
Sounds like they have to me.
I think so, by prohibiting the students from participating in an otherwise generally available student aid program from choosing to use their aid to attend schools that provide religious or sectarian instruction. We will certainly file an amicus brief in that case. But parents ought to have more educational choices rather than less. And so Maine is one example. There's many states like this. Alaska has this significant issue because of the size of the state and the number or lack thereof of public schools in which families either homeschool. In fact, my wife, Anita, when she was raised for part of her life in Alaska, Alaska was one of the pioneers for many, many years in the homeschooling program in Alaska because there are a lot of rural places that do not have a local public school, or maybe they have a local, say, K-5, but they don't have a local middle school or they don't have a local high school. And in this particular case, these three main towns did not have enough local public high schools, secondary schools. And so they have this Maine town tuitioning program so that the parents can get a voucher or some kind of tuition support. They can then choose where to take that so that their children can be educated. And they can either put it in private school A or religious school B, whatever the option would be, so that they can fulfill the educational requirements and, frankly, the duty and the law in the state, whereas the state does not have the ability to provide enough facilities or, right, in some cases, any facility to educate their children.
You know, and it's dramatically, tragically ironic. I mean, the government is trying to push all these agendas, socialist Marxism, sexualization, CRT, into these schools, but yet they won't pay for families to be able to send their children to Christian schools, which you think about the first schools in America were Christian-based. They used the Bible as their primary primer.
Yeah, you look at all these Ivy League schools, almost every one of them started off as Christian schools. I mean, if you wanted to go to Yale, Harvard, or Princeton, they were very decidedly Christian and sectarian,
right,
in their base.
They were all about getting missionaries prepared to go out into the world. And the documentation is still on their walls today. But yet, obviously, the agenda has gone the other way. But that was the primary purpose for those schools.
And so, you know, if you go back even to the first printed textbook in America outside of the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Bible was the most, and has been the most popular book in history. Every year is the most top seller of any book. And here in America, the first printed textbook, the second most influential book in America was the New England Primer. Right. It's a little pocket-sized New England Primer. In fact, we actually have it on our website at lc.org. You can go to the store and you can order one of these little New England Primers. But these were in the public schools, and the kids learned the alphabet by having either words that have religious meanings or even scripture verses. So, for example, in learning the alphabet, they would learn, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. Heaven to find the Bible mind, so that's A and B. Christ crucified for sinners died, and that's C. And it goes down through the whole thing. So you can see every one of those are religious-based memorization, and that's how they learned the alphabet.
Well, the founders are very clear that Judeo-Christian principles were an important part of a student's education.
Yeah, if you go to the Northwest Ordinance, very early on in the Northwest Ordinance, which is the ordinance that governed taking over new territories, so like the Louisiana Purchase and those kinds of things, as the 13 states, as constituted states now, and they wanted to expand and bring in some other territories, they knew the foundation of their freedom was based in twin pillars, religion and morality. Mm-hmm. Religion must be taught to our population, particularly in our schools, so that the people could be moral, so that they could respect each other's property rights and right and wrong, know the difference between right and wrong. And even Washington and all the other founders said, in Washington's farewell address, said the twin pillars that gird America are religion and morality. So religion, Judeo-Christian religion, Christianity, was taught in the public schools. In fact, the very first mandatory public school law was in Massachusetts, called the Old Deluder Satan Act. And that required, whenever you had enough families of 50 people or more, that a public school had to be established to educate the children. And why did they call it the Old Deluder Satan Act? Because they wanted them to learn how to read so they could read the Bible so they wouldn't be deceived by that old deluder Satan.
Wow.
I mean, that was the first mandatory public school law. Every time you had 50 people in a place, you had to have a school. But that school wasn't just a school. It had to teach Judeo-Christian, Christian values and the Bible. The Bible was the primary textbook in the public schools. The New England Primer was the second most influential textbook in these public schools. And now what you see is this dramatic change, where instead of religious freedom and religion being a foundation, you have this place in Maine, where now they say, well, yes, there's not enough educational institutions, there's not enough in these rural areas, there's not even a high school, perhaps, that your kids can attend anywhere in your geographical location. So we're going to give you a tuition credit. You can take that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to tell you where to go. It's your individual choice. We're going to give it to the parent, and the parent then makes the selection. So it's not the state making it. It's the parent's decision. But, oh, parents, you can only choose secular schools. You can't choose religious schools.
No. You know, and I'm really proud of these three families that are standing up, because now this is what it takes, Matt. I mean, to get back to our foundation, to fight for these Christian principles in our schools, faith-based schools that are the foundation of this country, these parents have got to stand up and fight for this.
And there's been a bigger movement for these faith-based educational choices across the country, whether it's tuition credits or other kinds of things like this. This can actually help continue that trend. Certainly since COVID, there's been a huge uptick in homeschooling.
Well, parents are starting to see what their children are actually, quote-unquote, learning.
Well, in
school.
in some cases, for example, what we've seen now that these kids have been taught at home and the public schools are using technology that they're not familiar with, but they don't like the parents to actually see what's happening, that they, for example, may be referring to John as John on the computer because they don't want the parents to realize that they're referring to John as Sally.
No, giving an affirmed name or something, yeah.
And their so-called preferred personal pronouns. I mean, even LinkedIn, believe it or not, when you log in to LinkedIn, says, what do you prefer as your personal pronoun? My wife just recently gave a response and said, if you can't tell from my picture what pronoun I would use, then there's a big problem
here. Yeah, there's anatomy and there's facts. Let's stick with that.
But there's a lot of that going on in the school. So there's a big uptick in homeschools. There's an uptick in people choosing Christian, private Christian faith-based schools. And hopefully, I believe, because the Supreme Court did take this case, I'm very optimistic that they will ultimately strike down this discriminatory law. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.